We'd like to thank everybody for making it here today on January 14th, 2014. We're glad that we have this opportunity to study the Book of John, Chapter 1. We're going to start with a word of prayer, and then we will begin. Gracious Father, we thank thee for your mercy and grace that you have granted to us, your loving kindness. Now bless us as we study and read and get a better perception of your will for us in these days that we live in. We just ask for your Holy Spirit, for your early and your latter rain. Teach us, guide us, instruct us, and help us to be servants of the Most High. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we have been studying John chapter 1, and we ended around verse 33. And so we're going to start at 29 just so that we can get a flavor of as we read into 34. The next day, John seeth Yeshua coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of Elohim, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Two questions here. What is this? What does it mean to be the Lamb of Elohim? And that's the first thing.
Okay. Well, back then they used to sacrifice a lamb, and its blood would be the sacrifice to God to get rid of their sins. So he's replacing that lamb, so they wouldn't have to sacrifice lambs anymore.
Okay, he's the ultimate sacrifice, okay, that will take away the sin. How come it's not sins of the world?
Well, it's only,
or is that a mistake?
Just talking about sin in general, the ultimate sin, I guess, because everyone was born into the world with sin. So to remove that sin.
Okay. Right. He wants to get to the root of the matter. Not the branches. The sins is a result of the sin that's in us. So if he removes the root, then the branches bear no fruit. All right?
Correct.
Okay. So that's the key. It's one sin that got us into this mess, Adam and Eve's sin of disobedience. And because of one man's sin into the world, many became sinners. And because of the righteousness of one shall many be made righteous. That's in the book of Romans. Paul talks about that. Okay, so we're in this condition because of that. Now, it says that he was before him. For he was before me. So John the Baptist here seems to be saying that Yeshua was before the Messiah. Was he born before the Messiah? Who was oldest?
John.
Between John? You said between John and Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, John. In the flesh, I guess, I think John, but in the spirit, Jesus.
Okay, yes. In the flesh, he was born, yes, after the other. That is correct. John was the oldest. And they were first cousins. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, now you're going to hear him. He's going to say he never knew him. So what does that mean? And I knew him not. How could he not know his first cousin?
What did you say, Dad?
Verse 31, and I knew him not. That's what it says. So how could he not know his first cousin?
Because he doesn't mean, I don't know.
That's right.
I don't know.
No,
I don't think he meant him as in him as a person. I think he meant him spiritually, who's since he was growing into his spirituality, and so now he's a different person. He's not the same even though, I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I see you trying to get it, but I don't think you got it. All right, Jabbar, you got a comment?
He knew him in the flesh, but not in the spirit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did he know him in the flesh?
He saw him.
It worked for his cousin, that's correct. But we never hear of any time that the two of them ever meet. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
He went down to Egypt, is that right?
Yeah. Well, you do. Well, they have a somewhat of a conversation when they're both in the womb, because when Mary came up to Elizabeth,
in the womb, that they never saw each other. That's right, in the womb.
Yeah. So I guess that is the only time they mentioned anything, but that clearly they weren't born at the time, so I guess that is the only time they mentioned it.
And they grew up in two different environments, one in Egypt and one in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Okay. It was just a thought, so that when we're reading these things, if other people ask you these questions, you at least have some answers. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. So now why is he baptizing with water? We read about a group that did baptize. Only one group baptized out of all of them Hebrew groups, or Israelite or Jewish groups, or whatever you want to call them.
The Essenes.
That's correct.
Yeah, those guys.
They were the only ones that baptized. That's correct. And John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Now, what spirit did he see descending?
The Holy Spirit.
Okay. So some people will say that a dove came. Is that what they usually portray
in movies.
That is correct.
Manifestation of the, you know, of it. Not, I don't think they're using the dove as like it was literally a dove. I think they're using it as like so you can see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's exactly correct.
It just being like a cloud or something.
Mm-hmm. Now notice this, and it abode upon him, not in him. Okay, so I'm bringing up this point because many people will tell you that the Spirit abode on the Old Testament believers, upon them. The Spirit came upon them. It never dwelt in them. This is some, you know, Gentile trick to try to prove that the Gentiles are closer to Yahweh versus the Hebrews in the Old Testament. So this upon him, we know that it dwelt in him. So upon him and in him will be probably the same. And that was my point. All right? Because you will hear that. Many people will tell you they never had the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. They never had it dwelling in, you know, all this foolishness they say. But anyway, if that is true, then Yeshua never had the Spirit because it only abode where?
On him.
Upon him. Okay, and we know that's not true, so these comments, this will be a good verse to help clarify that with people who were taught that. Mm-hmm. Okay. 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, there it is again, on him, the same is he that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So Okay, so what is this telling us here?
You're saying you know who he is. You might not know who he is beforehand, but once he says, you know, you baptize him with water, the same, you will see, like, the Spirit, and you'll know it's him, basically, once the Holy Ghost comes upon him. You can tell right away.
Okay, and this person who gets the Holy Spirit, what will he be able to do?
Baptize
the world.
Fire.
Yeah.
What did y'all say?
Baptize with fire.
Okay, baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That is correct. And so this is what's going to make a difference, baptism of the water and baptism of the Spirit. And we read before Nicodemus, he told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he shall not see the kingdom of Elohim. So here we have it in reference to us being submerged, baptized in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean to you?
Well, it doesn't mean speaking in tongues. We talked about that before. It means...
Okay, now that you know what it doesn't talk about, what does it talk about to you?
You have anything to worry?
Not too sure.
I remember, vaguely, a conversation like this happening a while ago, but I don't remember the outcome. I remember when we talked about what it wasn't. But I don't remember us ever coming to you.
Right, think about this. When you're in the belly of a mama, what's around you?
Water, I guess. Or birthing.
You don't know?
I've never been before.
Yes, it's water. It's water around you. And you do not breathe air. You don't breathe air. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the same thing, so that means that this whole thing surrounds you so much that it is, you're so in touch with it that it keeps you alive. And so the same thing is with the Holy Spirit. When you go down into water, when you jump in the water and you're underwater, it submerges you, and, you know, this is where you live and breathe. And then you have to pull your head out so you can breathe, right? So it's like that. That's how he's going to baptize. He's going to take the Spirit and such that it will surround us. That's where he wants us to walk as if we're walking in the Spirit. That's where it'll say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it's like our air. Right now, our air fully surrounds us, and we breathe by it. Is that right? But it surrounds us, and when you get it, and when you go down baptism in the water, you're submerged the same way. And so that's how much of the Spirit he wants to surround us and have full control of us. And how much control would that be?
Full control.
Full control. Every breath you take. Every sight you see, every ear, every sound you hear, every feeling you touch, everything controlling your entire existence. Now, how does he plan to do that?
You got to give it over.
Right, you got to give over what?
Everything. But the power.
Okay. Okay, what does that mean? I mean, the Bible does say that somebody asked him, what is the commandment? What is the great commandment? He said the great commandment is to love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. What does that mean?
Put him first.
What does that mean, you say?
I was thinking more along the lines of putting him first.
Okay, what does that mean?
I mean, just
putting him first. Okay, good. What
him,
does that mean?
Making him the person that, or making him your everything.
Okay, and how would you know if you did? What does that mean?
Well, you're living through him, kind of. Like, I remember the example you gave a while back that you kind of just, you know, sat back and let go, you said, and let God lead you in the direction that you wanted to go. And you didn't know what you were doing, but God was pushing you or telling you what to do when you just sat back and relaxed and let him take over. I recall that example a while back.
Okay, and I gave, so that was when we dealt with the chains and all of that stuff, remember?
Yeah.
Right, so those are that's what I'm trying to get to. There's all these different stages that you have to go through. Some people think they tell you, hey, man, I praise the Lord, I accepted you. Hey, man, I'm all right now. You are?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, now, brother, pass me the joint. Well, pass me that cigarette. No, even better. Give me some of that wine, that liquor, you know, I mean. Boys just be going wild. And they just say, hey, it's all right. So that's why I'm asking, what does these things really mean? Because we have the church telling us one thing, and then we're reading something else.
Yeah. Well,
and so that's the reason why I broke down those other things, those different first stage, second stage, third stage, so you can actually see the growth and maturity of people, because that's what it is. It's called sanctification. Sanctification is a work of a lifetime. You're learning how to yield yourself over to the power of the Holy Spirit. You're learning. It's a learning process. You wasn't born doing it, so you have to learn it. And so that's what is called sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if y'all heard of that term before.
Yes, I've heard of the term.
Okay. Yeah, justification, and then there's sanctification. Do y'all know what the difference is and what they have? When do they enter into your life?
No, I can't say I do.
What the
okay.
difference is between sanctification and justification? I guess not really. I mean, you hear the word sanctified all the time, and you hear that used in the church, and you hear that, you know, used that way. But do I have a definition for it? No. I don't think I've ever thought about that before.
Okay. Well, each word has to have a definition so you can understand what they're saying in shorthand. So,
well, I agree with you. I'm just saying I don't have a definition for it, though.
No problem. Justification is just. The key word is just. So you're justified before Yahweh, before Elohim. That now you are a servant of his, a child of the king. You're justified. That means he takes away your sins. You now start on this new path or this new journey of knowing, loving, and trusting in him. So you stand just before Yahweh, a new creature, behold, all things become new. And then you start this journey, which is called sanctification, which is you learning how to make good decisions. And trusting in the Spirit to lead you. And you learning that, hey, I am, like the Bible says, I was born and shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And the Bible says, all my righteousness is as filthy rags. And the list goes on and on and on. So, for us to understand that, when we start making decisions and they be wrong decisions and we start, you know, doing things that are not right, we understand that because we dwell in sinful flesh, and our sinful flesh is the battle. So now that you're justified, that means now you can stand just before Yahweh. because you have his Holy Spirit. And what does his Holy Spirit do to the sinful flesh?
Sanctifies it.
Yes, if you give your will to him to choose, to decide, to accept, to follow the Spirit versus the law of sin which is in our members.
Okay.
So that's what the struggle is always about. You now, before, you didn't have a choice to do right or wrong. You always did, because you only had sinful flesh. You didn't have the Spirit to fight the sinful flesh. So now you have the Spirit that is going to now fight it, because it has the law of Yahweh in it. And so you have two new laws fighting in you, the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua, the Messiah, which makes us free from the law of sin and death, which is in our members. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
That's Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. And that's what's important. And so most people don't understand what does it mean to be saved. What does it mean to be saved to you?
Be born again and basically living your life has been renewed and you no longer have you have an equal balance where you can make right and wrong decisions.
Okay,
before,
but that still isn't telling me what you're saved from.
Huh?
You still never told me what you're saved from. If you're saved, hey, if I'm a slave and somebody saves me, that means what? I got saved from slavery, right? If I'm drowning and somebody saves me, it's saving me from what? From drowning. What does saved mean? I mean, people throw this term around. What are they talking about?
You get saved from yourself. Right?
You're saved from the sinful ways or the sinful flesh. Well, not really.
Good. You have to think about it. Right. Okay. When you're saved from something, you're saved from something. When the Moses was in the wilderness, and they were being attacked by the Egyptians right before the Red Sea. They said, you know, the Yahweh said, stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh. Because these Egyptians which you see, you will see no more. And he lifted up his hands, and there became fire, pillar of fire between the Egyptians and them, and the sea opened up, and they walked through on dry land. And then when they got to the other side, the wall of fire came down, and the Egyptians went in after them. And then when they got into the Red Sea and halfway through, they realized where they were, and they decided that they needed to go back, and then the waters collapsed on them. So what were they saved from?
From death.
That's
from
right.
Slavery.
They were saved from the Egyptian army. So this salvation is saving us from something. And most people have no clue. Now, they will tell you, I'm being saved from hell. Okay, interesting way to put it. But that's all people want. They're selfish. They just want to be saved from hell. But is that his purpose? Is his purpose to save you from hell? Is hell your problem? Or is he saving you from death? Is death your problem?
He's saving you from yourself.
Saving you from yourself, and he's saving you, yes, that is correct, but he's saving you from some other things too, lots of things. Self is one, that is correct. He is saving you from your sin, okay? The wages of sin is what?
Death.
Is death, okay? So, yes, he can save you from the power of sin, which leads to death. And that's what he wants to save us from the power of sin, which dwells in our members, the law of sin, which is there. So he wants to save us, like you said, from ourselves, because we are not good. And he wants to deliver us from this body of sin. He wants to deliver us and free us. And that's why it says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Yeshua the Messiah, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua the Messiah has made me free. See, he saved you from something. From the law of sin and death, which is in my members. So, yes, he is saving you from death at the end. Yes, there's no question. But the thing that's causing death is sin. So he needs to save us from sin so that so then, of course, he's saving us from what? From death. What type of death are we talking about?
I don't know what you mean.
Okay, there's many types of deaths. Spiritually, we're dead. Got that right? Dead.
Yes.
Dead in sin, asleep. So he saves us from that spiritual death. He also saves us as sin goes on and on to death. So that's why he gives us a different diet. That's why he gives us diet changes. That's why he gives us lifestyle changes so that we can live longer and don't kill ourselves so rapidly. Give you a good example. Let's think about it. Adam and Eve, when they were created, could live for how long?
Ever.
Okay, forever. They sinned, and then their life, they said that you will surely die. Is that right? Did they die?
Yes.
Okay, well, how did they die?
Later.
Much later. That's what you said, Jabari, too?
They were dead spiritually.
Yes, they died immediately spiritually, and then their body started to deteriorate, and then their body eventually died. And how many years did that take? 930 years?
Yes.
Now, when he put them on their diet, what was the first diet he put them on when they were perfect?
Fruit. Fruitarian diet.
A who?
Fruitarian.
That's right, a fruitarian. There was no need for vegetables because fruit cleanses the body, and what does vegetables do?
It heals. Is that the word? I think it's healed.
That's right, it heals the body. So there was no need for healing because there was no decay and there was no death. So that's why they were never given vegetables. But then after sinning into the world, now they needed something to start working on that physical body that is now decaying very rapidly. So he needed to introduce fruits and now vegetables so it can start healing the system. And they were on basically probably a raw food diet, we don't know, but they lived to 900-something years old. Then, after sin, it was entered into the world. They were obviously still vegetarians, vegetarian one way or another, raw foodist or whatever. But we wind up seeing that when the flood came, we see that man's life is cut short to like 400, then 100. And Yeshua says, I'm going to give you 70 years or I'm going to give you 120 years. That's all you're going to live. How much is that from the 930 years difference?
A huge difference.
Like, okay, give me a percentage-wise. You guys are number people.
Like 800%.
Okay, so how much did they decrease?
Like 800 years.
Right, 800 years. Give me a percentage.
Isn't that like 800? Well, not really 800, but a little bit less than 800% if you're going from 900 to 100?
Well, yeah, if you're going from 900 to 100, that means how much did you decrease? It's not a times. It's a percentage that has to be less than 100.
Well, I was looking at it that way. Okay, so like 80%.
80%? People are living now, what, 100 years or 90 years or whatever? How much of a percentage of that to 930?
93%.
What's the percentage?
What did you say?
What?
Come on, speak up, speak up, speak up.
93.
Around 90%.
Yeah.
You decrease 90% and basically 10% of what you used to live, that's how long you live, 10% of what you used to live. So if you lived to 930, that means if you lived to 93, that's 10% of that what? Of that life. 90% of your life has been decreased because of after the flood and because of the new diet that was introduced. What was the new diet that was introduced?
Meat.
That's correct. Meat was introduced without the blood. That's the catch, without the blood. And what type of meat?
I don't know, goat, lamb, zebra,
clean
coyote.
Or unclean animal?
Clean.
Clean.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, they talk about that in the Old Testament. Nobody's supposed to eat any unclean things. Yeah, people did nowadays eat anything.
And why did he send that for you to eat it? Because what?
Because it's unclean.
I mean, there was a reason for it. Okay, now notice this. After the flood, he said you're only going to live to 70 to 120 years, okay? 90% of your lifespan has been just shut out. Boom. So now you're living 10% of what you used to live, and the only thing that changed was your diet. Does that tell you anything?
Yeah.
And then he tells you you can't eat the blood, and you're not supposed to what? Eat unclean animals. And then we're wondering why people who eat unclean animals die so rapidly and have all these cancers and have all these problems and high blood pressure. And we're wondering why. I mean, does it take a rocket scientist to figure that one out?
No.
My point is he gave laws and he was trying to teach us how to live within them so that we can live as long as possible. But he wanted those people who wouldn't obey him to die as soon as possible. And you would say, why would he want them to die as soon as possible? Oh, do you know how bad it was on the planet?
Yeah.
How bad was it on the planet?
So much that he had to clean it with water.
Yeah, how bad was it? I mean, you know, today, how bad are we? I mean, what's the deal here?
I don't know. Obesity is, I don't know. What do you mean, how bad is it? It's terrible.
Yeah, how wicked was man on the earth? That's the question.
Let's turn to
Genesis chapter 6 for a minute, just so you can get a picture. And then you would understand why he wiped the planet clean and then why he gave him a new diet, because he said, I'm not going to have you live 1,000 years. Wicked? No way, man.
Oh, yeah, there was only a few people that were righteous. Everyone else.
That's right. So he said, I'm not going to let y'all, you know, kill off the planet, live 1,000 years. And, man, shoot, man, the planet will be destroyed. So I got to cut your life to 100, man. 10%, man. And maybe, you know.
Yeah, just a small group of people.
Yeah, he said, hey, I'm going to introduce you meat then. Eat all the meat you can, bro, so you can die quick. Because the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Anybody got Genesis chapter 6 yet?
Yes. Genesis chapter 6, what verse?
All right, well, we start at verse number 11.
Okay, no, please.
Verse number 1. Let's start at 1. Start at 1.
And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. They took them as wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years.
Okay, so there you got it, right there. He said that my spirit will not always strive with man, and he's only going to live from 900 to 120. Okay, keep going.
There were giants in the earth in those days, also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men renowned. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually.
Okay, so how bad was it?
Very bad.
Okay, how bad is very bad?
All they could think about were evil things all the time.
Thank you. Wow. Now that is bad. So he say, I'm going to let people live for 1,000 years who's only evil continually only? Nah, that ain't happening. All right, I'll wipe you guys out. And then to make sure that you don't get there again, I'm going to make sure that, guess what? I'm going to have you only for 120 years, and that's it. And he says, how will I do that? Oh, no problem. I'll give you all the meat you can eat. And you will be so diseased that you will just kick over and die. Did y'all ever see that before?
Well, I definitely noticed a difference even when I changed my diet just a little bit from eating whatever I wanted to just eating seafood. Started noticing the stamina increase, you know, the fact that I didn't have these sharp pains in my chest randomly that most people experience, but they don't. They call it heartburn, I think. That's what they call it. But and people are like, oh, just take a little aspirin or take this or take that. And it's not really anything that's too serious, I guess you could say, but it's like a sharp pain that hits you randomly. And you're just like, oh, gosh, this sharp pain in my chest. And you don't know what it is. And then it just disappears after a couple minutes. But that went away altogether. And just a lot of other things.
And how old are you, Jabari?
I'm 25.
25 years old and having sharp pains like a heart attack? What?
Yeah, it was interesting.
Really?
I think most people, no, like honestly, most people have it. They just, and they kind of just say, oh, it is what it is. And it's not like it lasts all night or all day. It's just one of those random things that happen and you don't know. You just say, oh, it's going to stop any minute.
That's only if you don't have acid reflux. I heard if you have acid reflux, oh man, my goodness, you can't even go to sleep.
Oh, well, some people don't realize just a change in their diet, and that was just from eating anything to eating only seafood. I wasn't even on a, you know, raw food diet. I didn't have any of the sharp pains. I didn't have any of the stuff, and I was just feeling a lot better. So I noticed that within a couple of weeks. And then over time, I totally forgot. I was like, where did those sharp pains go? Where did this happen? What happened here? You know? And I was like, wow, I'm able to run forever without getting too tired. So asthma's not bothering me anymore. You know?
That's a good testimony.
Yeah, just small things that you do. I mean, like I said, that wasn't even a vegan diet. So, sure, if I did something vegan, I'd probably notice even more changes. But don't think I'm going to do that. But just eating from eating unclean foods, chicken, turkey, pork, I mean, just anything I wanted, steak, hamburgers, I don't know, just anything I wanted to actually managing what I was watching and eating a balanced meal, stuff like that. Really helps with your working out. And then people say, oh, well, you need your protein in your diet. A lot of people, they tell you this. They're like, when they're working out and stuff, they're like, well, you need protein in your diet, and the only way you can get protein is by eating chicken, by eating meat, by eating all these. And I'm like, not necessarily. I was like, there's plenty of protein in a lot of the vegetables, and there's a lot of protein in all the other things, like seafood and stuff that you can eat. You don't need that stuff. You just want it. And it's your excuse for coming up with that, you know, for a reason to, oh, you know, I need my protein, so I got to eat all this meat. It's actually weighing you down. So just thoughts.
coming from Mope.
No, not really. Interesting thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if the wickedness of your heart was only continually, what do you think it is today?
What?
Worse than that. Or just as bad. I don't know.
I don't think it gets worse than that. But we are on the verge. Because the boys have a scheme together of how to conquer the world and how to keep everybody in slavery. I mean, them boys got to be thinking 24/7, only evil, continually only.
I don't know. A lot of people think that nowadays.
It's like crazy, man. And I'm like, really? Is this really what's going on? Brother, don't think of it like that. What am I supposed to think of? Well, yo, bro, it's all right. It's all right for who? Did y'all see the movie Roots yet?
You remember watching it when I was young, and it scared the crap out of me, and then I left and went to the airport because I was so scared. So I haven't watched it since you've terrified me 20 years ago.
Okay. All right. Well, it's only your history, my dear.
Well, I know, but I was like 8 years old.
Just imagine if you lived in it.
No, I know. I know. I was just scared because I was young, and I was just really scared. But that's not something I should have watched when I was 8, Dad. But, so no, I haven't seen it in my adult life.
Okay. How about you, Jabari?
No, but I've seen every other thing, probably. The Sankofa movie that y'all used to have us watch.
Yeah, that is correct. Yes. Well, y'all need to go with Roots or buy it or something. I just got it. It was at Sam's for maybe what, $16 or $8 or $10 or something ridiculous. So I bought it, and I was re-looking at it, and it was going over just what we've been talking about, trying to escape, trying to be free, trying to, you know, and all of these things, and how, you know, people were, you know, which is something we need to know and remember, that it has not changed. And that we need to keep in mind of how will we be free. How are we liberating our people? How can we get out of what we just read here? Every imagination, just imagine that. It's just them guys thinking, every imagination of their thoughts. This is not even acted out. Their thoughts of their heart, of their innermost being, is only evil continual. Wow. And so you get a chance to see some of this. I was speaking with somebody today. They're supposed to be interviewing me on Thursday on one of their shows, the radio show. I told y'all on the internet. And she said that she can't believe that people are that wicked. I said, really? I said, just think of history, man. Just think about what have happened to today. Oh, they can't be using the church like that. The church can't be these. They've been doing it for centuries. And so people just said that they can't believe it, they don't want to believe it, and they will just be happy not believing anything. I said, okay, that's your call. But for me and my household, we're going to liberate the people. Liberation of the black mind. That is my motto, my motto, and that's all I'm going to do. Free the people. So that's what we need. I mean, we're killing each other. We massacre. I mean, it's just like this. And the young people are having evil only in their imagination and in their thoughts. If they're doing it at a young age, what are they going to do when they get old? But yes, we need serious help. And only through, you know, the Spirit can we be delivered from this body of death. So this is what he talks about, the Spirit. The Spirit has a big job to do, don't it?
Yeah.
And that's why it's called sanctification, because it takes a lifetime to uneducate us from this realm of thinking and existence. Now, just imagine, some people grew up like this all their life. They don't know anything else. They don't know anything else. their brothers, their mothers and daddies, shooting drugs, hanging out, and that's all their life. Drop out in high school, elementary school. That's their life. And that is sad. So let us not forget the brethren and the sisters that are struggling, dying every day, waiting to hear the truth and the light, and those that are in these churches that are just being brainwashed. We have a great work, my brother and sister. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yep, so keep this in mind. All right, it's around 7:39, so I think this is enough for us to think of as we go through the rest of the week.
Okay. Well, guess what, Dad? Oh, never mind, we're taking recording. I'm taking it off.
All right, well, that, we have someone offer up a word of prayer.
Dear Father, thanks for bringing us all together today and helping us to jump off of the script and really think about our lives and try to dig deeper into who John was and what Jesus was to John and what the relationship was like and how we can understand how we can change our lives to want to be more like them. Please bring us all together safely next week on the phone and in person this weekend. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, Jabari.